Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I've been to so many wonderful music festivals in my life, and I've enjoyed them all.
Is this that, like, that we're trying to recreate that scene where Moe's attached to the lie detector? And
Yes. It just blew up. I don't know if you could hear it.
Okay, good. Because, again, to reiterate, I think a music festival is the last place you'd ever want to be.
That's probably true.
I've been to a few good ones.
But really? Were they really good?
I mean,
can't imagine.
I saw really cool bands at them.
But couldn't you also see those bands indoors at some point?
No, actually. We don't have to get into why a lot of bands don't necessarily come to Florida a lot. But, yeah, it's sometimes it is. I've gone to festivals because it's the only way to see certain bands. Okay. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. You can gain access to all of our bonus content and help the show keep on trucking. We have a person to thank, Matthew.
We have one of the best people in the world. Okay.
Yes. Jenny H. Thank you very much, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny.
On to this week's episode. It is Homerpalooza, episode 3F21, originally aired May 19th, 1996, written by Brent Forrester, directed by Wes Archer, finished 57th in the ratings, a Nielsen rating of 7.8, approximately 7.5 million viewing households, third highest rated show on Fox that week, following both The X-Files and Married with Children.
Well, at least The X-Files are in there now.
We need to watch Married with Children. I need to see how that holds up.
You know, I tried to find a copy of it, but I just could not. It's hard to get these days.
I think you could. It's on DVD out there. You can find it. Episode guest stars, Peter Frampton, all of Sonic Youth, all of the Smashing Pumpkins, and all of Cypress Hill. There's a lot of
all those kids.
A lot of guest stars. They're not quite children anymore. They're much older than us.
Well, yeah.
Especially true. Peter Frampton. He was older than us then than we are now. Episode begins with Otto dozing off while he's driving, daydreaming about winning the Safest Bus Driver Award. The bus is crushed into a small bus shape in the auto wrecking yard. The parent Marge, by reading aloud the letter the school sends to them, they release all claims of liability or whatever it is.
Yes, in perpetuity throughout the universe.
Throughout the universe, in case they were going to try and do it on another planet or a galaxy. The Simpsons and the rest of the parents have to organize a carpool. And the Simpsons have, of course, Bart and Lisa, and they pull Janie, Nelson, and Milhouse. Is that proximity? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm assuming, because we know Milhouse lives fairly close because him and Bart hang out all the time. Janie, maybe, but Nelson, I figured Nelson probably lives somewhere further away.
I don't know. You don't know that. Why? Just because he has he's a poor person? Is that what you're trying to see there, Matt?
Or he has a rundown shack of a house is generally what I'm going with.
Are you saying Evergreen Terrace doesn't? I'm fairly certain that Evergreen Terrace is not have high property values. Homer takes this opportunity to launch into cool kid talk with all those cool kids in the car with him.
How about those rainbow suspenders, huh?
Dad.
Pretty cool way to keep your pants up, eh?
Dad.
I see these kids now with Jive printed on their shirts. Now I can teach you how you're supposed to say jive.
Dad, please just drive the car, Dad.
I'm watching the road, sweetie. You jive, turkey. See? You got to sass it. Quit jiving me, turkey. You got to sass it. A turkey is a bad person.
A turkey is a bad person, which is true. Turkeys are terrible people. Not as bad as horses, but they're still pretty bad people.
I think they really do nail that. I don't know, nail that, like, parent, like, not understanding what current speech is, current, like, slang is. I feel like it's very dated now, but I feel like at the time it feels appropriate for a person Homer's age in 1996 who is hearkening back to his days as a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how people probably spoke in the 70s, I would assume.
I also think, not having been alive. Well, I mean, also, Homer's kind of, I mean, that's what this episode's about. It's about Homer, like, being sunk in nostalgia and not understanding youth culture anymore and losing what it is and being not with it anymore. And not just that, like, that's completely cyclical and, like, everyone gets to that point in their lives where they don't understand youth culture anymore. They don't understand how kids talk anymore. They're befuddled by it, confused by it. But
although we also found out that Homer wasn't as cool as he likes to think in some of the flashbacks.
Well, I think that's getting to the root of it. But we can, yeah, we can touch on that as we go. Homer, like, we get a couple scenes like this with him in the car talking to the kids. He talks a lot about, we get also, like, some classic rock on the radio station as they're going, and I think this is a really good use of licensed music. I think this whole episode has a lot of really good use of licensed music, where you get Grand Funk Railroad and Homer espousing the ideals that Grand Funk espouses. All the kids are completely confused. I think if you talk to me in 1996, I also would be completely confused by my father talking. This might as well have been me and my dad driving to school. Like, this scene might as well have been that. Like, him, we're listening to classic rock on the radio. He's rocking out and I'm embarrassed. I think that's like, I think that is very, like, it typifies, I think, the honesty of this situation, and that it is very true to life, and probably why I like this episode so much, because it certainly brings back a lot of memories of me in the car with my dad and us listening to classic rock radio, which I had not grown to appreciate yet.
So the question is, when you were a kid, were you the kind that got, like, super embarrassed to the point where, like, you tried to turn the radio off, or did you just roll your eyes and, like, go back to reading something?
I can't really read in the car a lot. I get nauseous. But yeah. Me and my sister would try and guilt my dad into changing the radio station, which would sometimes work. We generally were at least successful in getting him to stop singing. He's not a good singer.
Well, not many of us are.
Exactly. But he was, I think he was singing just to embarrass us, even though it was just us in the car. There was no one else. But I think I never turned off the radio because my dad would not allow that. My dad's like, this is my truck. No. I get to choose what's on the radio. And I mean, he was correct. It was his. He was an adult and I was a child. He probably should have. He allowed us to change the radio station occasionally, which I appreciate now, but the music we wanted to listen to was not nearly as good as the music he was generally listening to.
It's funny how you can go back and say that now.
Yes. But the kids flee from the car when they get to school, and Homer's still yelling after them to check out about Grand Funk in their local library, I believe, is where he says.
Well, that's kind of where you'd have to, as Homer later learns. It's not in the music stores anymore.
Well, it is. And you mentioned that fact. Homer decides to check out. Well, let me actually, before he does that, we get back this time with a little intro from Mountain, Mississippi Queen by Mountain. I knew the name of the song. I couldn't think of the name of the band. Mountain is Mississippi Queen. We get a little bit of that. And Homer going into details about music until Bart. Then the kids finally snap.
When I listen to a really good song, I start nodding my head like I'm saying yes to every beat. Yes, 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 this rocks. And then sometimes I switch it up like, no, 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 don't stop a rocking.
Dad, please, you're embarrassing us.
No, I'm not. I'm teaching you about rock music. Now, Grand Funk Railroad paved the way for Jefferson Airplane, which cleared the way for Jefferson Starship. The stage was now set for the Alan Parsons Project, which I believe was some sort of hovercraft.
Dad, no one cares about any of your stupid dinosaur bands. You have the worst, lamest taste in music ever.
I'm just trying to party with you guys.
Homer, first of all, it's partay. And second, we wouldn't partay with you if you were the last dad on Earth.
Damn, that's harsh.
It is pretty harsh. I mean, and I think I'm more sympathetic towards Homer now than I was when I was younger and watching this.
That's true. Especially Bart and his partay line. It's like, come on, Bart.
Well,
that's,
I think
that's pretty lame.
I think that's what I like. I think that's what you realize when you, as you watch this, as I've gotten older, as I've watched this, is like, I think like some people at the time, just from reading the news group, that people were like upset that it picked on Generation X. They, at least they thought it was picking on Generation X so much. And about criticizing the youth and the youth culture. But I think in the end, this episode is just like in that Bart himself is kind of being lame. And that discussion at the very end of the episode about what cool is. Like, I think that this episode is just kind of like, this is all illusory. Like, no one knows what any of this means. It's just, it all like stuff happens. It gets summoned into the zeitgeist. And then people get old and things move on and change. And it's your youth culture is impossible to parse regardless. And attempting to is foolhardy.
Well, attempting to parse it, yes. But you can always find a few things to enjoy. I know that most of us tend to enjoy things like Adventure Time and Steven Universe, which are popular with the kids these days.
I mean,
but,
that's
true. Trying to understand that love is probably beyond us.
How about music, Matthew? How about like current popular music? How about that? Do you get down with any current popular music?
Oh yeah, I'm a huge
exactly.
Tay Swizzy. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Taylor yeah. Swift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
Yep, that's the one. That's the only thing I can think of that kids would listen to that I've actually heard. You know, those kids, they listen to the Hamilton soundtrack, right? Oh, yeah.
I mean, a Hamilton soundtrack is... Hamilton is, like, very popular. So, yes, there are children that listen to the Hamilton soundtrack. But
yes, there is a tiny overlap.
I know, but it's... Like, I think that's the thing. Like, Homer... And this is not just that Homer, of course, doesn't know current alternative rock bands or whatever. It's that Homer... is losing his youth, and he probably feels like he's still young. He probably feels like he's still the same guy who liked Grand Funk Railroad in like 1970 whatever, but he's not anymore. And now Grand Funk Railroad is played on the oldie station and found in the oldie section.
Hold on, real quick, I just want to point out, my wife will criticize me, in this episode, he finds them in the oldies bin, but they are played on classic rock station, not oldie stations. Apparently, oldie stations play music from like the 40s, 50s, and a little bit of the 60s. So if I didn't point that out, I would get in big trouble.
I don't – have you listened to oldie station lately, Matt?
I don't even know if we have one around here.
It's probably an AM station. Generally now they are.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or like a lot of oldie stations have shifted over into – music of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and a day. They've kind of done that thing. But even AM, yeah. Even AM oldie stations do play classic rock. Like you will, they will play Led Zeppelin on oldie stations now. I've heard myself.
Snap. I got some proving to do.
I'm not saying that it, like, I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with that assessment of like putting classic rock on oldie stations, but. Most people who want to listen to 40s, 50s, and 60s music, they don't. They're not alive anymore. They're moving. They're like the population of people who are listening to that are shrinking, and so they're trying to. I mean, that's why classic rock now is up to 1990s. Like it's 20 years behind, basically. That's what classic rock is. So that's you heard Nirvana and Green Day on classic rock stations. Which,
oh my god, now I'm old.
Yeah, no, it's a very strange thing. But I mean, they do it. I literally listened to a classic rock station play a Green Day song not too long ago.
It's true. It's like The Simpsons. It's a sliding scale.
It is a sliding time scale. And that's, I think, the whole...
Good old That 90s Show.
This whole episode is kind of doing that. It's like... And it's showing, like, Homer is now... I think this is him realizing he's not young anymore. And it's kind of hard to watch. Like, it's difficult. It's hard to see, like, this... Like, him, like, dealing with the fact that, like... Okay. Homer goes to the record store, Suicide Notes, formerly Good Vibrations, to find some music.
Where can I find the latest releases by Bread?
Oldies.
Oldies? But you've got all the top bands in here. Styx! I just heard them on the King Biscuit Flower Hour. Now, here are some of your no-name bands. Sonic Youth, Nine Inch Nails, Hullabalooza.
Hullabalooza is a music festival. The greatest music festival of all time.
There can only be one truly great music festival a lifetime, and it's the US Festival.
The what festival?
The US Festival. Yeesh! It was sponsored by that guy from Apple Computers.
What computers?
It's definitely the 90s if Apple wasn't big. And actually, I've never heard of the US Festival. Is that that's a real thing, right?
It was a festival in the early 80s.
Okay.
It doesn't even have bands that I think Comer would consider. Like, they did it in 2 years. They did Labor Day weekend in 1 year and then Memorial Day weekend the next year over multiple days. But maybe the first day did have, like, had Fleetwood Mac and Tom Petty, and I guess that would be Eddie Money, Santana. Those are definitely Homer bands. But Oingo Boingo and the Police and the Talking Heads and the Cars are not a Homer. I wouldn't call them Homer bands.
Oh, come on. Homer's got to be a big Police and Cars fan.
Doesn't feel like it to me. But he couldn't say Woodstock because he would have was like barely alive for Woodstock. But
we actually see him at Woodstock later as a baby.
Exactly. So he can't really call that one. But the US Festival is obscure enough that it doesn't really matter. Also, yes, Apple, you can tell by the time period. Apple is what? Who? What's Apple? Apple Computers. But I think this episode does also a good job at actually picking bands that were relevant at the time and even still today. I think, like, you can look at all the bands in this episode and you're like, oh, yeah, they're still, like, memorable. And
those names have come up in conversation in the last 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can even the Billy Corgan has gone.
I don't think the Smashing Pumpkins are still a band, are they?
They're not. Billy Corgan is a...
Billy Corgan's doing solo.
No, he's a certifiable insane person. And also...
Well, there's that.
And he was trying to be a wrestling promoter for a while, which I have very mixed feelings. I have mixed feelings about all that. Homer asserts that rock attained perfection in 1974. Scientific fact.
Sounds about right for his idea.
Yeah, it's a scientific fact. And we get kind of a little bit of a flashback section. And we get the infamous I used to be with it discussion with Grandpa.
But most of all, I remember the music.
You make me feel like dancing!
I want to dance the night away!
What the hell are you two doing?
It's called rocking out!
You wouldn't understand, Dad. You're not with it.
I used to be with it. But then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it, and what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
No way, man. We're going to keep on rocking forever. 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 Forever.
Still, like, all of these flashbacks end with Homer being sad.
Well, yeah, because he thought he knew something, and it turns out that he doesn't. Also, for some reason in my memory, there's always music behind Grandpa saying, it'll happen to you, but apparently there's not.
There's, well, unless I altered this clip, which I did not.
Did you alter this clip?
I didn't alter the clip. And, like, we get multiple scenes. Homer, in a nod to Dazed and Confused, going to, like, a California custom van where... The cool kids are hanging out with their strobe light. He is, which a really great shot, something you can't really capture through audio, but him, the strobe light Homer, slowly getting closer and then really far away again. It's spectacular. That girl telling that he's really cool in high school when he probably wasn't.
Well, then the other girl says, that was mean. I think we're led to believe that Homer was not cool in the eyes of the other students.
But it's, it's also, I don't know if that's that mean. I mean, give someone confidence.
False confidence. Now Homer thinks he's cool, but he's not. What's he going to do?
It could, I mean, fake it till you make it, Matt. False confidence is there's no, to an outside observer, false confidence is the same thing as regular confidence. There's no difference.
That's true. And until you have to actually, you know, follow it up with real action.
But then you do it and you do it well and you get real confidence. Homer talks to Marge, consults Marge about his feelings.
What's wrong, homie?
I went to the record store today and they were playing all this music I never heard of. It was like the store had gone crazy.
Record stores have always seemed crazy to me, but it doesn't upset me. Music is none of my business.
That's fine for you, Marge. But I used to rock and roll all night and party every day. Then it was every other day. Now I'm lucky if I can find half an hour a week in which to get funky. I've got to get out of this rut and back into the groove.
Well, good. Try to include Bart and Lisa.
I don't know. I like Marge is like, I don't, Marge is like complete, like disconnect from music. Like she's like, I don't like music. Eh. Just an entire kind of art. I don't indulge
yeah,
in.
Yeah, go Marge.
And there you go. Matt is a Marge. I think yep. that's we found Matt's true character analog. It's not Lisa.
Yep. I'm in Margil Puff House.
I mean, do they not have like sorting hat style
I'm
quizzes
sure
for The Simpsons? Like which character are you? They have to. Come on.
I mean, they fall pretty easily the main four into the four houses. So you know,
do they?
Lisa's a Ravenclaw, Bart's a Slytherin, Homer's kind of a Gryffindor, and Marge is very obviously a Hufflepuff.
Homer's a Gryffindor? Really?
That's the one where it kind of breaks down, but, I mean, the other three are pretty spot on.
I would bet Homer is a Hufflepuff.
I would Maybe?
I would put Marge more as a Gryffindor and Homer more as a Hufflepuff.
Mm.
Homer is confused heroism. Like, that's what I would call Hufflepuff.
I think most Gryffindors are confused heroes.
I think Gryffindors are like earnest trying to do the right thing and failing for the most part. I feel like that's what
it does sound like Marge. You're right.
Yeah. And I think Lisa and Bart are easy. I think they are definitely Ravenclaw.
Slayer. Yeah.
I think Homer is definitely more Hufflepuff. He's not like, I don't know. It depends on the episode. Probably. It's probably like on a various, like
we've got a lot of comments about this, I'm sure.
Thinking now I have plans in my head. Homer is trying to work through his feelings about this, about feeling old and outdated and obsolete and not cool anymore, and he decides on a whim to be young again with Bart and Lisa by buying them tickets to Hullabalooza.
Dear Lord, if you keep Homer from embarrassing us today, we promise to build several churches in your honor.
Bart, no!
Hey, wait! I'm okay today! My mom bought me deodorant!
Dad, you forgot to pick up Milhouse.
I did? I must be getting forgetful in my old age. Open the glove compartment and fetch me my brain medicine.
What are you talking about?
What have we here? Looks like your uncool dad scored tickets to Hullabalooza!
Bart, these look real.
Check the authenticator spot.
This is an authentic Hullabalooza ticket. For authentic refreshment, eat Clark Bars. And for totally outrageous class rings, it's Jostens. Go Jostens!
You're not going to school today. Today, your classroom will be the Capital City Amphitheater. Your teacher, 4 dozen rock bands. So get ready for some well-supervised craziness while you rock out with your father. Woohoo!
I included that sting at the end, the little musical sting,
mm-hmm.
because I like that it's like, mwah, oh, it's like, no, this is going to work out poorly. This is not, this is not what Homer thinks is going to, he thinks this is going to be a great time for him.
But it's not.
It's not. And we go to commercial.
And when we come back, they make it to Hullabalooza, which just so happens to be, you know, that day. It's like Woodstock with tons of security and advertising. They have some fun booths, like bungee jumping against racism.
That's important. That's if you want to be against racism, you show up by bungee jumping.
That's true. I mean, there's really no other way to show you're against racism but bungee jumping. I mean, at least in the 90s, there wasn't. They do have a wonderful freak show, apparently, the Pageant of the Transmundane, as we will learn it's called later, with a human pincushion act and a guy who's just smoking a ton of cigarettes and blowing smoke rings that poodles jump through, which is... Hey, you're at a freak show. You're at a freak show, I guess.
I mean, all of the stuff you see at Hullabalooza is based on Brent Forrester, the writer, going to Lollapalooza, which, of course, this festival is clearly based on. And
yeah.
His experiences, including the people taking cameras and being called a narc. he was literally called a narc by someone, apparently. And there was a freak show, a circus act that performed at Lollapalooza.
Fun. I also forgot to, they threw out Homer's homemade Kahlua.
That,
which
there's very few
that
things.
That sounds awful.
There's like, of all the gross food, like, I'd eat the Tom Collins mix, like, in a pie crust before I ate homemade Kahlua. I can't imagine that taste.
Even with all the cloves?
I don't know. I think I'd find a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Homemade? How do you... Did Homer make that?
Chocolate milk and vodka.
Did Marge make it, or did Homer make it?
That's a good question,
did
really.
If Marge made it and put it in there, it probably would at least taste similar, and I could deal with it. But if Homer made that...
Marge is a whiz at making drinks. I mean, she made homemade Pepsi.
It's just a little thick.
Yeah, exactly. But after the freak show, Cypress Hill goes on, and we're treated to a short clip of Cypress Hill. What are they singing? What song is that?
It's not Insane in the Brain. I don't know. I'm not a huge aficionado of Cypress Hill, so I can't tell you. I know their hits.
Neither am I.
I know their hits, but it's not one I can readily identify.
But, you know, it's one of those famous Cypress Hill songs that we don't know about.
I'm sure people will openly tell us as soon as they
Of course. During the Cypress Hill set, it apparently smells a lot like Otto's jacket. So there's that.
Otto's jacket, what does Otto's jacket smell like?
That's a good question. Apparently like Cypress Hill.
Okay. Awesome. So, got it. Good.
It smells like hip-hop.
Oh, it smells like hip-hop. All right.
But at this point, Homer decides he's going to get with the youth culture and be cool. And unfortunately, it does not go well for him.
Dad, you cannot wear that. That's a Rastafarian hat.
Hey, I've been Safarian since before you were born.
Wearing a Jamaican hat makes a bold statement about your connection to reggae music.
Well, excuse me.
You know what, Dad? Maybe we'll go exploring on our own for a while.
Well, Homer, this is it. Time to get back with the people. The young people. All right, yeah. Cool concert, am I right?
Yeah, nice try, Narc.
Where's the Narc?
Who?
That fat Jamaican guy.
What did I say? What's going on?
Hey, we're just trying to have a good time, Narc. Why do you want to destroy us?
Don't commit your hate crimes here. Hate crime!
Okay, I'm heading out now. More butt support.
Go! It's important to have that butt support.
It's very, especially when crowd surfing, you need that butt support.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you, Matt. If Homer went, do you think this went that differently for Homer when he went to, let's say, the US Festival? Do you think, like, when he would be
I don't
in a
really
crowd?
Think it did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that a lot of this episode is just saying that, like, it's just because Homer, he's older now, so the changes and the differences seem more obvious to him. But I feel like Homer has always been, like, socially, like, awkward or not, like, not in the cool kid, like, and these people aren't cool kids, but it's like he didn't belong. I think that Homer, like, he's never, I don't know, this is Homer trying to, like, peel back, like, his self-image. Like, this is what this episode's about, and I think another reason I like it so much is, like, Homer kind of realizing, like, everything that is, like, everything he thinks he is not true. His self-image is false inherently, and
it's basically destroyed because he used to think he was cool and now just not.
Yeah, it's impossible for that to be sustained anymore. Like, when he was young, he could still at least think that he was cool, but now that he's presented with the youth all shouting at him, literally shouting at him, he can't, like, sustain that image anymore, and now he's just like, what am I? What do I belong to? Who am I? Why can't I be cool?
It's like, well, there are lots of reasons, as we'll find out, essentially. But Homer is essentially kicked out of that particular performance. Next up are the Smashing Pumpkins, who, you know, I forget what they play, but it sounds like all of their music.
they played Zero, Matt, all right? I know the Smashing Pumpkins better than Cypress Hill, and they were playing Zero.
Yeah.
Which is a fine, it's not, I wouldn't say it's their best music, but Zero's not bad.
it's a good start.
I wish that they didn't cut it out right before the crescendo of the song, but whatever.
Well, I'm sure that they had to.
I mean, I can't I can't go on Spotify and just listen to that song five times in a row if I wanted to. I can only listen to it in a Simpsons episode.
That's true. But Bart and Lisa notice that the music is really getting to the crowd, and Bart makes the statement that making teenagers depressed is like shooting fish in a barrel, which is true, which is probably why the Smashing Pumpkins had the good run they had for so long, because their music kind of makes you feel depressed, and that appeals to teenagers.
It does, but I mean, it's no different. I mean, it's no different than today's. There's plenty of music today that is for depressed teenagers. It just changes. It's not like depressed teenagers stop being depressed. They have a lot of hormonal problems. They need something that will appeal to them.
That's true. Most of them lack appropriate amounts of sleep.
Well, you know, if they just started school days a little later, it'd be fine.
Yeah, they should. They really should, but they won't, because old people suck. Maybe one day when we're in charge, we'll make that a rule.
You don't trust anyone over 30, Matt. And we're both over 30, so
that's true.
We're old people. We are not.
That's true.
We are not.
To be fair, the two of us would probably push back school to like 9 o'clock, whereas you know the kids today would probably push it back till noon or so, because you know eventually we'll become nocturnal. Just the way it's going to happen.
It's too much energy.
Anyway, we cut back to Homer, who is greatly saddened. He says he hasn't changed since high school, but suddenly he's uncool. And as we've gone back and forth, we realize Homer was never really cool, but at this point he's just lost all of his illusions. He knows he's not cool now. He just can't. At this point, he kicks a pig balloon launcher, gets shot in the stomach with said pig, it inflates and flies away. But Homer, despite this, is fine. Homer Simpson syndrome, one of the tertiary effects, is apparently a incredibly powerful stomach. So he's fine. And the freak show promoter shows up and says, "I've been looking for some big fat guy to shoot with a cannon. Join the freak show."
Yeah, this is this whole bit about the cannonball thing is based on a guy named Frank Cannonball Richards, who, if you've ever seen stock footage of a guy getting shot with a cannon, that was Frank Cannonball Richards who did it for years and years. He used a spring-loaded cannon, though. He did not use a real
cannon.
Yeah, because a real cannon would obliterate anyone. There's no one alive that could withstand being shot by an actual cannon. I assume that the cannon that shoots Homer is gimmicked in some way.
Yeah, I assume it's very similar. It's probably like the pig launching cannon, which is also probably like compressed air or something. It's not, you know, gunpowder. So anyway, when Homer doesn't give his response right away, but he goes home to discuss it with Marge. And Marge's opinion on that is a little different from Homer's.
So you want to go on tour with a traveling freak show?
I don't think I have a choice, Marge.
Of course you have a choice.
How do you figure?
You don't have to join a freak show just because the opportunity came along.
You know, Marge, in some ways, you and I are very different people.
That is one of my favorite conversations between the two of them in this entire 28-year-long show.
I don't think I really have a
choice.
You
don't have to join a freak show just because the opportunity came along. Yeah, he does, because he's Homer. Oh, God. So Homer does join the freak show. They go to play at the Raleigh-Durham Skull Bowl, which, despite its rhymingness, is terribly but probably accurate, knowing North Carolina's predilection for tobacco. Homer signs cannon.
Are there still a lot of tobacco-sponsored things even today?
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, not as much today.
At the time, for sure. Yeah, of course, at the time. But I'm just thinking today. I don't think there's much. I can't think of any, like, you have seen enough college football to fill 20 lifetimes, Matt. I would assume you would remember if they'd. I can't think of any tobacco, like, sponsored things that for not like a decade, probably. Because, like, it's been the Winston Cup hasn't been the Winston Cup for forever.
I think NASCAR was probably the least restrictive in terms of tobacco advertising. Even they've cut way back on it.
Although they have opened it up to like liquor, so I don't know. They went away from smoking, but they haven't stopped with the alcohol.
Homer begins to sign cannonballs for the kids from your hero Homer. Stay in school, and he meets the Smashing Pumpkins in one of the best bits that is remembered by every Simpson fan ever.
Hey, Cannonball,
I like your statement. When life takes a cheap shot at you, you stand your ground. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins.
Homie Simpson, smiling politely. You know, my kids think you're the greatest. And thanks to your gloomy music, they finally stopped dreaming of a future I can't possibly provide.
Well, we try to make a difference.
Indeed. Lowering expectations. That's the kind of difference you want to make.
So, there was a... Billy Corgan here has hair, and by the time this episode debuted, he did not have hair anymore. So that was
and he still doesn't.
He still, yeah, he shaves his head bald. The song Zero was the single at the time, so they probably just dubbed that in, you know, when it was starting to go over. But that interaction was originally going to be with Courtney Love, or at least was planned to be with Courtney Love. It was going to be, "Hi, Homer, I'm a big fan, Courtney Love." And Homer was supposed to reply, "Homer grateful." But apparently she never responded to the request for her to appear. And apparently Sonic Youth would have not done it if Courtney Love was a guest. They object to Courtney Love's appearance, I guess. Would have objected to Courtney Love's appearance.
Interesting.
We're not going to go into various alternative rock soap opera
beefs.
Yeah, there's a lot of beefs involving Courtney Love. Unsurprisingly, especially a lot of involving her relationship with Kurt Cobain and the fallout after his death. But I think the Billy Corgan bit is, I think, better. I think the Billy Corgan Smashing Pumpkins is Homer Simpson smiling politely is one of my favorite interactions in the entire show. And I think I like it more than Courtney Love anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right. But after this, Homer writes to the family about all the fun he's having as a member of the Freak Show. I didn't capture it because it's mostly just tired jokes. But at the next performance, Homer goes on stage and there's a couple of guys in the audience who are confused about how they feel about him.
Oh, here comes that cannonball guy. He's cool.
Are you being sarcastic, dude?
I don't even know anymore.
So that's teenagers for you. Is that sarcastic? I don't know.
I don't know how I feel. My feelings are, I'm so lost in my emotions. I'm not sure if I mean what I say anymore.
It's like, did you like that? Then I meant it. Oh, did you not like that? Then it was sarcastic.
I think this episode really does do a tremendous job at like skewering youth culture and how what's cool is fueled by people who don't even know if they're being sincere. The message I've gotten after rewatching this episode is that it's just youth culture. What is cool is so hard to define and so fleeting. And Homer, who we love, you know, he's our protagonist ostensibly. And he's beating himself up and risking his life by the end of this episode, chasing this fleeting idea. And the people who are like, it doesn't matter, like in 1996 or 2017, the young people who are propping up what's cool, they don't even know. Like, it's not like they, it's none of the, like, it's all, and plus with the advertising and all that, like, it's all manufactured. It is all fake. It is all a facade. It's all, like I said before, it's all illusory.
Popular culture in general is all illusory. Yeah. This is how it happened before and it will all happen again.
Yeah, life is really cool. Like, it's not pointless at all. This episode really, I don't know, this episode really has gotten, like, it really feels very nihilistic a little bit. I don't know, I was feeling a little bit nihilistic watching this and, like, seeing what was happening.
So, at that point, Homer gives his trademark statement for this episode, don't trust anyone over 30, which considering Homer is, what, 37, 39, one of those?
Yeah.
Sure, don't trust Homer, but don't trust anyone over 30. So, anyway, it's one of those fun mental riddles for the rest of you. But at this point, Homer's next show was going to be in Springfield. He gives the Smashing Pumpkins the popular wisdom of Springfield. If it's brown, drink it down. If it's black, send it back. That's Springfield water for you. So we also learned that Homer was in the AV club, and he was kicked out for his views on Vietnam or for stealing projectors. You know, it depends on who you ask.
I like all the guest stars of this. I like all these bands and their little character bits. I think they're funny and charming. I as a person who doesn't necessarily like any of the music that they produce, Matt, do you like their appearances?
I do. I mean, they seem like cool enough people. I mean, really, they don't have that many lines, but the ones they do have are at least interesting.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just like in the end, it really is just selling Homer's experience on tour. Like, I feel like all of the lines from all the different bands and all the musicians is just like, make us feel like we're Homer. Make us feel like we're on tour with these people. We're going from city to city. We're having fun. It's a gang. They're acting like normal people, like, for the most part. They're not, you know, being high and mighty rock stars. They're just being like, hey, Peter Frampton's upset his pig launcher isn't working. The Smashing Pumpkins are talking about being in the AV club. Like, it's like very down to earth things. And I think it's not, none of it's like hilarious, but it really does the job well at like making them relatable and therefore making us understand why Homer is having such a good time on tour with them. And he belongs with these people. They accept him.
It's true. I mean, that's one of the things they're really pushing this episode is accepting people for, you know, who they are and whatever special talents they may happen to have, which I think was one of the would be one of the tenets of like the 90s alternative music scene is just, you know, whatever you are, we'll accept you. That was one of the things I think they tried to go for, but, you know, people are people.
I'm hesitant to launch into like a long speech about scenes in music and how ultimately many of them are often just as exclusionary as they are inclusionary. But intentions are usually good. It's just sometimes it gets mixed up there in the middle.
Yeah. So anyway, at this point, Homer tries to prepare his beer belly. But when he drinks a beer, his stomach rumbles in an odd way. So the freak show promoter, being very concerned for Homer's health, sends him to a vet. And it's at least a competent vet, as we'll find out.
My God, those cannonballs have practically demolished your stomach. From now on, no cannonballs, no spicy foods. And when you lie in a hammock, please rest your beer on your head or your genitals.
Rules. I'm a rocker. I don't care for rules.
Mr. Simpson, this is serious. If you take one more cannonball to the gut, you will die.
Die? Well, you don't scare me, Doc, because dying would be a stone groove. Got any messages for Jimi Hendrix?
Yes. Pick up your puppy.
That's...
Poor Rover Hendrix.
That's... there's even a note in the Wikipedia, in the Simpsons Wiki, about that is one of the least liked act break jokes ever.
Really? What's wrong with that?
Matt, really? What's wrong with Rover Hendrix?
It's cute.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to try and argue with you. I'm just saying,
okay.
The Simpsons writers have described it as one of the worst they've used. And I tend to agree with them. We can move on.
Moving on. And as Robbie said, that's our act break, so we go to commercial.
When we come back, Homer is dealing with the news that the vet delivered to him. But he is back in Springfield, so he has an opportunity. He's back spending time with his family, including answering some questions for Bart.
So what's it like being famous, Dad?
People know your name, but you don't know theirs. It's great.
Dad, do you wear boxers or briefs?
Nope.
What religion are you?
You know, the one with all the well-meaning rules that don't work out in real life. Christianity. What's with all the questions?
Just some report I gotta do for school. Hey, you want some pie?
Sure. We got a lot of catching up to do.
So, Homer takes a glance at Bart's notepad, and it is who I respect most, or something along those lines. Yeah, and you know, it lifts Homer's spirit, and this is, I think, it compounds, you know, his feelings about if he should continue being in this freak show, because one, he is touring with this rock festival, music festival, with a bunch of cool bands. He's cool again. He gets cheered by the crowd, and now he is getting respected from his son, who earlier in this episode criticized him for being uncool and for his dinosaur music. And, you know, he is feeling relevant again. He's feeling important. I feel like that's a common, you know, theme in a lot of Homer stories, is Homer trying to get respect. And I think this one, I find it more interesting than most of those, is just because it is kind of connected to his self-image and how he's kind of constructed who he is, or who he thinks he is. The Simpsons get to go backstage because Bart is a crew member, theoretically. They're hanging out with all the bands, all the people. Someone ordered a London Symphony Orchestra. They're saying possibly while on drugs. Everyone looks
possibly while high. Cypress Hill, I'm looking in your direction.
Yeah, Cypress Hill. But that is, we get a symphony take on Insane in the Brain, which is charming. It's like 10 seconds long, but I like it. Then we get Otto and Dolph? Or no, Jimbo. It's Jimbo, isn't it? Jimbo's with Otto. Yeah. Jimbo and Otto in the crowd, probably on drugs. At least Otto certainly is, because he sees his own shoes talking to him. You wrote Burns. I don't think Burns owns Ticketmaster.
That's what he said.
I thought he said. Yeah, I thought he said he bought his tickets using Ticketmaster.
No, no, because Smithers says I didn't think Smithers, you didn't think buying Ticketmaster was a good investment. You said no one's going to pay 100% service charge.
Okay.
And Smithers says, oh, it ensures a mix of the rich and the ignorant.
I misunderstood, but that is, Ticketmaster service charges are as relevant today as they are 20 years ago. Even more so.
This episode really holds up.
Yeah, really, like, hey, look, more Simpsons relevancy. More things change, the more they stay the same. Poor Peter Frampton is talking with his guitar. His pig is still not working. I guess Homer has the special touch for it. They should just have Homer make it shoot out every time.
And his orchestra got stolen.
Yeah, by Cypress Hill. poor Peter Frampton. He's also losing... Sonic Youth is rooting through his cooler for watermelon, which you'd think they'd have catering backstage. Perhaps not.
Think so.
Poor Peter Frampton. Maybe Peter Frampton just wants to have his own watermelon. You know,
that's true.
His own
supply. Important to not share your watermelon.
Yeah, poor. I mean, but you know, Sonic Youth. Come on, they're important. You should let them have some watermelon. They steal it anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Homer doesn't know what to do. Like, he's on stage in front of his hometown crowd, who they have a billboards as they drive up that show like hometown hero Homer Simpson getting shot with a cannon. And, you know, he's mulling over like his feelings of belonging in this festival, of Bart, especially respecting him, but he could die. If another cannonball hit him, I think he could have done one more cannonball. I think he would have been okay.
Probably, but it's better not to. I feel like this is not one of those, oh, you will immediately die. It's like, this will significantly shorten your life. But knowing Homer, you know.
Yeah, but in the end, he has to decide to live or to die.
And now, Springfield, this is the moment that you've been waiting for. The man who embodies everything about rock and roll, except the music. Give it up for your very own homegrown hero, Homer Simpson!
I used to carpool with that guy.
Oh, this is heavy. Okay, Homer, don't fear the Reaper.
Oh, I'm gonna die.
Cannons are designed to hurt. They're designed to hurt.
Shh, Mom, Dad needs our support.
You're the coolest dad alive.
Oh,
had an appetite for destruction, but all I wanted was a club sandwich.
There might be one in this cooler. Oh, here we go.
Oh.
I thought I had an appetite for destruction, but I just wanted a club sandwich, which I don't know that confusion. I've confused those two things myself before.
Homer decides not to, chooses to not die, which I think is a pretty good choice. He decidedly not a rock and roll choice, but I think that this moment is Homer real, like it puts physical harm on the line and makes Homer's decision, like, makes Homer realize that this is not nearly as valuable as his life is, and that he is more than just his image.
Indeed.
He gets a little goodbye scene with the Smashing Pumpkins, which I really enjoy, which I've titled, Packaged Youth Culture is Meaningless.
Oh, man. Homer wussed out. I'm so disillusioned.
Hey, Hullabalooza isn't about freaks. It's about music and advertising and youth-oriented product positioning.
That and getting toasted, nicely toasted.
Homer, I'm sorry. There's nothing worse than a yellow-bellied freak, unless that's his act. I expect your letter of resignation on my desk.
You have a desk?
No, I mean the hood of my car.
I'll miss you, Pumpkins, but I just can't share your bleak worldview. I've got too much to live for.
We envy you, Homer. All we have is our music, our legions of fans, our millions of dollars, and our youth.
Woohoo!
Let's all go out and buy fur coats.
I want a walk-in humidor.
They're welcome to all the humidors they want, but if they buy fur coats, I will cut them.
Oh, come on, Matt. Those animals like giving up their skin.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's faux fur. Faux fur is awesome. You dead man.
I'm just shaking my head silently. I guess that's not making for good radio, but that's what I'm doing. Simpsons drive away, they're driving home, we get a discussion that ends the episode about what's cool, who's cool.
So, I realized that being with my family is more important than being cool.
Dad, what you just said was powerfully uncool.
You know what the song says? It's hip to be square.
That song is so lame.
So lame that it's cool?
No.
Am I cool, kids?
No.
Good, I'm glad. And that's what makes me cool. Not caring, right?
No.
Well, how the hell do you be cool? I feel like we've tried everything here.
Wait, Marge. Maybe if you're truly cool, you don't need to be told you're cool.
I'm sure you do. How else would you know?
Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Okay. I'm just that's you have to have people tell you you're cool, but you have to not want to be cool. So
yeah, there's I think that's what this episode is kind of reinforcing, and I think that it is. I don't know, the things I like most about it are Homer and him trying to figure this stuff out. You know, he's showing us. You know, there's a lot. It's not just this episode that this is kind of reinforced. There's other episodes where Homer wants to be popular, wants to be cool. But this is the one that I think really kind of gets all those ideas across really effectively. I think that it really, it finally nails down that, you know, the fleeting nature of the zeitgeist or whatever. And it's really funny. And it has really, I don't know. I like all of, I think it, how much you like this episode is really going to be hinging on if you like all the guest stars.
Yes, but I don't know. I feel like you could still really enjoy this episode by not caring about the guest stars. Because, I mean, honestly, I appreciate the guest stars for their novelty, but I really have no interest in any of the stuff they do. But I still feel like this could be a good episode, even if all the bands were fake, to be honest.
No, I think they'd serve that purpose by being real and by actually being somewhat relevant at the time, especially, you know, they were all relatively hip bands, even in Sonic Youth, especially. Like, that is a inclusion that is, like, Sonic Youth has never been popular. They've always, like, they're known by, you know, like, music fans and people who really like alternative music and stuff, but, like, they're one of the most famous of those bands, but they're certainly, like, I'm not sure if I've ever heard a Sonic Youth song on the radio.
No, I definitely have not.
I don't know. I really like this episode. I really, really like it. It has a lot of, like, really fun character stuff in it, has a lot of, like, fun writing and fun guest stars in it. has Peter Frampton with a pig balloon.
Love that pig balloon.
It has this is one of probably my top 10, probably. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say. But we'll have to say when we rank it at the end of the episode. No submissions for this for my favorite episode. However, if you do have a favorite episode, you can submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I will read your answer when we get to that certain episode. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I'll comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what people are talking about a week or two after an episode debuted. Some things made this one a little bit more complicated, Matt.
Oh, really? In what way?
Because this is the second to last episode of the season. Our next episode is Summer 4'2", which I know both of us really, really like. Summer 4'2" aired directly after this episode on that night. They both, Homer Palooza.
Oh, really? Back to back?
Yes, they aired them back to back. So Homer Palooza was at 8, and Summer 4'2" is at 8:30. So you got both those episodes dropping on the same day. So the message board was full of opinions about both of them and multiple people comparing them to each other. Most of the reviews of this were kind of average to good. You know, they thought it was fine, or it was above average, or it was they liked it. But it was not a lot of like, this is the best episode, or this is great. Some stinkers, some people were like, eh. But no, like, worst episode ever or something. Like, I don't know. There seem to be people who were trolling the board on purpose and were declaring every episode. They're really, like, they hated it, so I don't know. Most of the criticism... Oh,
you know those things.
Yeah, internet trolls, yeah, they've always existed. I think the most criticism in most of the cons people were putting was criticism of Generation X. They felt like this was very pointed at Generation X, which were the typical people in those crowds, the guys who they don't know if they're being sarcastic or not.
Right.
But
I don't know if it was specifically pointed at them, or so it was just a comparison of baby boomer culture versus Generation X and the ways they're different.
Yeah, I think that it doesn't matter. Like, I feel like it is more of a criticism of youth culture and how that is used, that slogan, that phrase is used at a lot of times to trick people into spending money and or like buying, like consumerism, etc. But it could easily, they just used the two generations that were prevalent. Like, they just compared them to. It doesn't matter. The current generation is always, there's always tension between the current and the last generation. It is always happened and it always will. I don't think that's going to change. That's always been humanity. Like, you read like reports from 5,000 years ago and there's adults complaining about the young people who are radicals and rebellious. Like, it always is that way.
Oh yeah. How dare they?
It's the same thing. Also, people talking about Apple, Apple computers.
What were they saying? Were they like, oh, I have an Apple computer?
No, there's a lot of people going like, the diehard Apple fans who stuck with them during this time period when they were, in the lull before the iPod happened.
Before the second coming of Jobs.
Yeah, before the second coming of Jobs. It is like, there's people like talking about, like, because there were people in the news group even who were like, really? Is Apple, like, they were confused about Apple because it really was very, very, like, low and was.
And no one really considered them as being useful. Like, you had old Macs in your school, and that's the only time anyone thought about Apple until, like, 98 or 99.
Yeah. And that's, like, this is right in that window. And, like, one thing that actually it dates this episode pretty heavily, aside from like the music, is the fact that someone says the word Apple and no one, like, the people are confused. That would not happen today.
There are no gasps.
Yeah, there's no one's confused about what Apple is anymore, even if they aren't as
no.
They weren't as successful as they were like 5 years ago. Oh, but that's it. There's a lot. It was hard to get through everything because there's a lot of stuff also about Summer 4'2". Sneak preview, people really liked Summer 4'2" more than this one.
I really don't know like how you couldn't, but we'll talk about that next week.
We will talk about that next week. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number. Yellow?
KBBL's gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Apu quote? So many good answers. I
know someone grabbed mine because it's just the best ever.
I appreciate everyone who answers takes the time. I can't read everything, but I do read them all, and I do thank you for participating. Our first answer is from Graham. Marge says, maybe you should hire a nanny and pay her with what? Banana bread? Sorry, we just haven't slept in days. We're running out of money and banana bread. What were you thinking? Banana bread.
Should have known that my favorite one is the first one someone picks.
Kevin, he slept, he stole, he was rude to customers. Still, there goes the best damn employee convenience store I ever had. From Cole, in reply to Skinner's idea of Billy and the Clonosaurus. Oh, you have got to be kidding, sir. First you think of an idea that has already been done. Then you give it a title that nobody could possibly like. Did you think this through? And then, ellipses, it was on the bestseller list for 18 months. Every magazine cover had. One of the most popular movies of all time, sir. What were you thinking? And Billy and the Clonosaurus was runaway the most select answer of this. I got probably close to a dozen people who picked this as their answer. Very, very popular answer.
All you dozen people, how does it feel to be wrong? Nothing can come close to the banana bread.
Matt, no one's wrong, all right? There's no right answer. That's why I stopped using best in these questions. It's because your favorite. It's all it is. All personal taste.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
From Daniel, Homer. So you're selling what now? Apu, I am selling only the concept of karmic realignment. Homer's response, you can't sell that. Karma can only be portioned out by the cosmos. He's got me there. from Rob, from You Only Move Twice. Hello, I am not interested in buying your house, but I would like to use your restroom, flip through your magazines, rearrange your carefully shelved items, and handle your food products in an unsanitary manner. Ha! Now you know how it feels. Homer's, thank you. Come again. It's a nice little reverse. Izzy, oh, the searing kiss of a hot lead. How I missed you. I mean, I think I'm dying. from Lauren, a Mounds bar is not a sprinkle. A Twizzler is not a sprinkle. A Jolly Rancher is not a sprinkle, sir. Perhaps in Shangri-La they are, but not here.
Did you say Shangri-La?
Shangri-La? Shangri-La? Shangri-La?
Shangri-La.
I think you could say it however you want, Matt. It's not a real place.
I suppose you're right.
From David, his answer. My fave for this week takes me back to the 90s, playing Doom on the PC with a Simpsons mod. When someone died, Apu said, ooh, she's got to have it. The quote was when Mo told Homer to nibble Marge's elbow. I don't know. Hey guys, if you reference Doom in your answer, 90s Doom, I'm probably more likely to pick it. From Elaine, her answer, when Apu thought he was a hummingbird. I do like that's a good dark horse. From Dan at Smoking Dan, he becomes a dad, goes on a rant about banana bread, then says, "I'm sorry, as a token of my apology, please take this baby." from Stephanie at SMG 0014, it's always the South Shell. Come again. Gets me every time. From Alex at AlexBZ711, when I first arrived, you were all such jerks, but now I've come to love your quirks. Gregory at GB Freeman, also, the searing kiss of hot lead, how I missed you. I mean, I think I'm dying. And finally from Justin at JM McGuire MLB, please do not offer my god a peanut. Which... I think that's good. That's a classic. Matt, what is your answer? The best answer, of course.
Banana bread. Is the entire long bit of, oh, you brought us banana bread. All the things they need, how terrible and tired they are. At the very end, he offers to give them a baby, which don't take it, Marge. Whatever you do, don't take it.
My favorite is also from, I think, from that same episode, where Manjul is waking up Apu. Apu, it's 4. You're 4 a.m. You're late for work. Apu, oh, I just had the most beautiful dream where I died.
And I love Manjul's response. No. Not until they're out of college.
Apu, listen, I'll die when I want to. I really like that. Next week's question. What is your favorite musical reference? Doesn't have to be anything, you know, too specific, but, you know, could be a musical guest or a musical quote or use of a song. Could be, you know, anything. Leave it out there. Let you guys decide. I post this question on all of our social media, on Facebook, facebook.com/thesimpsonshowpod, on Twitter @SimpsonShowPod, and you can email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. Any of those places. You can follow us, like us, get Simpson-y things in your social media places. Exciting. Woo.
Yarp.
Yarp. All right. All right, Matt. It's time for a reckoning.
Uh-oh.
Not quite, but we're getting there. It might be. We'll see. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. Season 7. Whoever loses has to attempt in one sitting to eat 64 slices of American cheese. I am behind by 10 points with 2 episodes to go, counting this one. I have a very narrow margin of victory in place, but I'm not out of it. There's still a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Indeed.
Okay. I'm going to start us off, Matt.
Okay.
In this easy question. In Don't Fear the Roofer, what is the name of the roofer that only Homer can see for most of the episode?
The Ray Magini.
That is correct.
That anagrams to imaginary.
It does. Voiced by Ray Romano.
Yeah, it's a fun episode.
I don't like Don't Fear the Roofer. It's delightfully stupid.
Oh, no, I wasn't being sarcastic. Sorry. I know that I wasn't being sarcastic, so I'm telling you, I was not. It's actually okay. A pretty good episode.
Okay. Yeah, for a latter day, for like post 15, like post like season 10, you know, we're out of the classic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah. All right, give me my easy question.
Your easy question. In Miracle of Evergreen Terrace, what excuse does Bart make when he accidentally destroys the presents?
That's an easy question? What excuse does Bart... What?
Well, he tells the family... Something happened to the presents. That someone did something to them that wasn't him.
Oh, they got stolen?
Indeed.
What?
A burglar took them.
Gimme. All right. For your medium question, in The Heart Broke Kid, what is the name of the fitness instructor voiced by Albert Brooks?
Oh, man. If it's the one I'm thinking of, it's the one where he gets everything wrong. Like, all of his signs are wrong. Is that the one? When Bart goes to fat camp?
Yes, yes.
Oh, what was his name?
That is the question.
I know. I'm repeating it to try and stall. You're just listening to dead air while I'm trying to think.
Well, Matt, I eliminate most dead air. I think that's part of the...
Oh, okay. Well, so you're saying I don't sound as stupid.
You're talking to fill out that time, so no, you sound the same.
Oh, okay. I got nothing. I have no clue. Mr. Pinchy.
I think your go-to is Mr. It is Tab Spangler.
Tab Spangler. All right. I need to spend more time watching old episodes, apparently.
I mean, it's not...
Especially ones from, like, 18 on.
This is 16, I believe. I think I picked them all from 16.
Oh, really?
I think so. I can't remember. Give me my medium question that I will also be confused
All right. What game show does Marge go on to try and win back the money to get presents for what they stole? That got stolen.
Is it a real game show? You're not going to tell me. It hasn't really been that long since I've seen that one, too. I just can't remember what it is. March. Jeopardy. She goes on Jeopardy.
Is that your final answer?
Sure.
You are correct, sir.
Okay. I'm completely blanking, but I really like Jeopardy, so that was my guess.
My favorite part of that is just at the end when Marge ends in the negative, they're like, Marge, we explained how this works to you.
Oh, right, yeah. She has to pay it all back. Yeah, it's like $36,000 or something. Isn't there a montage where she keeps answering and she's wrong every time?
I don't know.
Okay. I think I want to say that's in that episode, but I can't remember, obviously. Okay, your hard question, Matt. In
Oh Lord.
A Star is Torn, Lisa sings a song titled What in the Little Star Maker Finals?
In the finals. Oh God. It's about Homer. Is it like My Dad or something like that?
I need an answer, man. I'm not you, this is a hard question.
Okay.
Give me the title.
I'm going to say still my dad.
That is incorrect.
Oh,
the answer.
What was it?
Always my dad.
Oh, come on. Not a point. Not 1 point.
I'm not Matt. I'm behind by a lot. If I give you 1 point, I am confirming that I will lose. So no, and this I'm going to be very tough on you and say no points for not the correct answer. What is my hard question?
All right. How much money is donated to the family in Miracle of Evergreen Terrace, and what do they spend it on?
Oh. I don't think I know this, but I need to get it right. Okay, if we sit here in silence,
I will eventually get up and leave, and you will have it counted as
no,
wrong.
I will be. It will be considered correct because you left, not me. I think that's. I'll just.
No,
I can
no,
just wait
no.
you out. It's a technicality in the trivia rules. Uh-huh. I'm sorry you haven't read them, Matt. If you just read the rules,
oh, where are they published exactly?
I have them in a Notepad doc on my desktop.
So I have to hack into your desktop through the interwebs.
You just had to ask. You just had to ask.
Okay.
I know the episode ends with everyone angry at them because they learn that Bart faked it all and the Simpsons only have a washcloth. But I don't remember the middle part. They do a fundraiser because of the news story.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk this out. There's a number. I don't know. $10,000. And they buy presents? I don't remember. It's all blank.
All right. That your final
it's my
your
final,
answer is $10,000 in presents.
Oh, what do you want me to do, Matt? I can't like I could summon
I don't
up.
Know.
Is that well, if okay, I'll summon another number and maybe you'll react differently. I can gauge by your voice. 11. It's 11,000.
And still presents?
I don't know, Matt. What? No, I'm wrong. I don't know.
Okay. So the answer is $15,000 and a car. They buy a brand new car.
For only 15?
Well, I mean, it was still the 90s at that point, I think.
Yeah, it was. I think, yeah. I think, yeah. What was it? What was
so they just bought a Kia, you know?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right. That's not good, Matt, because I didn't get the points for that. But I do have... You know how I said that if I didn't get all the points right, I was going to lose?
Probably.
Well, maybe there'll be a wild card next week that might change things.
A wild card?
Yeah, it might be.
Wild cards don't tend to go your way after last time.
Hey, I'm not saying it's definite. I'm just saying I'm just going to say it's not over. I'm down.
Okay.
I'm down after today by 8 points, which if it wasn't for a certain wild card, we're gonna try and work on. I would have lost, but I'm still in it.
All right.
Need tension, Matt. You need drama. You have to keep that.
Oh, we'll see. I'll come up with my own.
It won't matter. I'm gonna lose, Matt. I'm just trying.
Showdown.
It doesn't matter. I have some bonus questions. From John Winchester. From both Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2 and a couple from Burns Baby Birds. Let's see. Yep, all right. From Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. Smithers dreams him and Mr. Burns take part in Speedway Squad in color. What year is the show set?
1972?
65.
Oh, wow, I was way off.
What does groundskeeper Willie call his tractor while tearing down the sundial?
I have no idea. Agnes?
Duchess.
Duchess, okay.
Homer, after being arrested, what are the first two questions he is asked by a reporter?
Who are you? Where are you going?
That is true. What show did Smithers and Krusty steal the Madonna gag from?
Pardon my zinger.
What room of the Springfield Retirement Castle does Jasper live in?
I no idea. 102.
26.
Aww.
What did Nancy Drew say you need to solve a mystery?
An inquisitive temperament and two good friends.
That is true. What mystery does Marge suggests Lisa solve instead?
Who put the mud in the freezer?
That is correct. How many beeps does Mo get during the lie detector test? We mentioned that earlier.
Oh, how many beeps does he get? 8.
Close. 7.
Aw, nerds.
And we'll wrap it up here. What did Mr. Burns do with his last ounce of strength?
He sucked out his fillings.
And
swallowed them.
Correct. There you go.
You know, those paramedics have sticky fingers.
They do, indeed. I'm fairly certain they're not stealing your fillings, Mr. Burns.
No.
Probably not. If you have a trivia question or a theme, you can send it in to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, any of those aforementioned places, and I'll try and use it if I can. We can move on to our final segment, we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is definitely in the top 20 for me. Definitely, probably.
I would probably agree.
I would put it of my own. Let's see. If I had my choice, I would put it probably 12.
12, really? Okay. Better than Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson and the Curse of the Flying Hellfish?
Yes. That is what I mean when I say I would put it number 12.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not. I'm saying this is me, Matt. You're one half of this. You have to temper me. But where
I do really enjoy this episode. I think I can easily put it 15 as a absolute, you know, minimum or maximum, depending on how you look at the numbers. I don't know if I can go as high as 12 though. You're really gonna have to sell me on that.
I think that it has. I don't know. I really really like Simpsons episodes that do. Like, I don't know, I that allow for deep dives, that allow for, like, ways to look at the characters in new ways. And I feel like this episode in particular adds a lot of depth to Homer in ways that you can really play around with. You know, you can have a lot of good discussion about what, like, that entire discussion we had today about... Was Homer ever actually cool? And like the flashbacks in this very episode all support that no, he was not cool. Like every single one is that he is singing like a pop song with Barney. He is rejected by those dudes at the van. He is made fun of by the pretty popular girl. Like all three of those things all point to us to say Homer was not cool. But the fact that he thought he was cool. And the fact that, you know, as he, this is it's a very relatable thing, like, and I think I appreciate it more now that I am older than 30 and I'm, you know, that I'm not a young man anymore, at least not nearly as young as I was, especially when I first watched this episode. And I have more respect for that feeling of, like, you're getting older and you are losing touch with youth culture, so-called youth culture. And it's a peculiar thing, but everyone kind of goes through it. And I think I empathize a lot more with Homer now than I did back when I first watched this episode, even though I liked it then. But I think I have a greater appreciation for it now. I like all the bands. I like their little interactions with Homer. It doesn't feel like out of place guest stars in this. It feels very much like they belong in this episode. I feel like it is fairly tight. It's not as tight as it could be, I think. Like, I think the act structure is a little loose. But, you know, I think it does a very good job at escalating Homer's conflict about being cool and not just making it about him being cool. It's also about his family, which I think also is a thing I always look for in, you know, the best Simpsons episodes, is that it involves whatever character is the main focus. It can, you know, it generally does involve the family as well. It ties it in to the idea of the family and about where Homer belongs in this family, how he's not really, like, you see it, I think, you know, I think they do this idea in a lot of episodes, but I think it is best done in this one. Like, Homer the Great kind of does this thing too, where Homer is, like, suddenly in power and in charge, but at the end they decide, oh, well, no, he's a part of a very special club, and it's the Simpsons. I think this episode does, I appreciate what this episode does in that regard better, and that it, I think, better illustrates Homer dealing with what cool is, and I think Homer has never in his entire life thought about this question. Like, this is him finally realizing, like, wait a minute. I'm not cool? Like, and like that, like a rude awakening, and like there's so many, there's layers of that, of him not necessarily always being cool. It's just him realizing it now, and the influence of youth culture on that, And I don't know. I feel like there's other episodes that, like, on the surface level, Simpsons episodes are much better. Like, hey, how funny are they? How tight are they? How well are, like, the quotes? And, like, there are good quotes in this, of course. Homer Simpson smiling politely among them. But I don't know. There's a lot of meat in this one, and I really, really, like, cherish those kinds of episodes.
Wow, that is quite the statement you gave me there.
you asked, Matt. You said, sell me. So I sold you. That was my pitch.
You definitely did. Okay, I can definitely see it going all the way up to probably 14. Would you accept that as a compromise?
Not above Raging Abe Simpson?
Maybe 13, but definitely not 12. Sorry, Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield is a March episode, and I have to hold those tight.
Okay, I'm not saying I will admit myself that I put it above 12, but that's mostly personal preference. Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield is also a really good kind of this type of episode in which you get, get to see a character trying to deal with things. Marge in that, and, you know, also, like, it's actually very similar in theme, and Marge, like, belonging somewhere and, you know, other than her family. So, you know, those two episodes are actually quite similar. I think Raging Abe Simpson is a great episode. I think it's a lot. It's fun and action packed. I just don't think there's a lot of depth to it.
I would agree.
So 13.
13 sounds good.
Yeah, I got up to 13. So number 13 is.
Next week is when we're gonna have a knockdown drag out. I'm pretty sure because
We may not. I haven't watched Summer 4'2" in a long time, but I've always really liked Summer 4'2". So that's Homer Palooza, number 13 on our list, right above Raging Abe Simpson, et cetera, and right below Scenes from a Class Struggle in Springfield. Number one on our list is Cape Fear. Last on our list, number 143, is Homer's Odyssey. As aforementioned, our next episode is Summer 4'2", the last episode of Season 7. I think we both hold this episode in very high regard, and we're going to talk about it. I'm excited about it, and we're going to end Season 7.
Yay.
Yeah. You can find this list on our website, simplythesimpsonshow.com. Links to everything there, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. I've had some reports from people having trouble with various podcatcher services. I don't know. I can't really do anything about that. iTunes and Google Play Music, which are both services I have directly submitted our feed to, are working just fine. All the episodes are appearing there. I've changed the RSS feed link on our website to the raw feed link, apparently it has helped some people. So if you're somehow listening to this while having trouble with your podcatcher, try that and hopefully it'll fix it. It's probably, I know podcatchers generally they're like basically just mostly getting their podcasts from either iTunes or another service. Like they're just, isn't that what they do, Matt? They just rip basically the feed from that.
Essentially, yeah. That's what most of them do.
So there might be a problem with, I don't know, them, like the big services changing their behind-the-scenes stuff or something. I don't really know. I'm not an expert on that stuff, but you can try that if you're having problems. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter, at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, that is about comic books. And the Serial Fanaticist, which is about all kinds of stuff. Most recent episode is about the Burton Batman films. Matt does not participate in social media unless a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
Yes, more than likely by the time you listen to this, I will have been trapped in my own home for days. My wife is constructing a Harry Potter escape room for us, and she's devious. So come save me.
Patronus.
There you go. Good job. You saved me in advance.
Leviosa.
You mean Wingardium Leviosa?
Harry Potter.
good job, Robbie. Good try.
Thank you. I try. With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the subs.
Shh.